WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Morning. Happy Wednesday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. And it's a happy Wednesday for some. It's an unhappy Wednesday for others. But it was bound to be that way one way or the other. And as I said, you know, yesterday and previously before, you know, it's not the end of the world. Things will go on. Some of us aren't going to like the things that go on. But then again, would have been the same if it went the other way, too. But we'll get your thoughts on all of it. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. I guess my first question is, Mary, what toppings do you like on your pizza? Because I told her that if Donald Trump won, I would buy her a pizza from the Dipper Cafe. So just let me know what if I had to make a suggestion. The hot honey pepperoni is a good combo. But Josh, the owner over there, introduced me to another one that's really good. Linguica and Gold Fever. You also can't go wrong with the old classics. Just a straight cheese or a pepper and onion. Regular pepperoni. But hey, I told you I'd buy you a pizza, so, you know, make it a Meat Lovers if you want. Get all that protein on there. So again, 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemail on the WBSM app. And kudos to our national news team here at Town Square Media who basically stayed up all night waiting for the ability for Town Square to be able to report a winner, which, you know, we were waiting for the Associated Press to call it as well as, you know, one other viable, trusted news outlet, you know, just get two news outlets. Once two news outlets had called it, you know, we would report it. And literally just moments before we went on the air, it was able to be officially called for Donald Trump. So we can, again, get your thoughts on that. Also on the local side of things as well, we can get into how the questions did. Honestly, the questions and the results of the questions didn't surprise me. I thought question four was going to be a hard thing to convince voters to support in the form that it was written. If it had been just about therapeutic use of psychedelics in a controlled environment, I think it probably would have passed. I think for the most part, we here in Massachusetts are understanding of alternative medical therapies. Because, you know, we trust that here in Massachusetts, we lead the world in medical innovation. And I think people would have been okay with that. I think it was the home grow part that really got people's trepidation up about that question. But so again, that didn't surprise me. Things went pretty much the rest of the way that I thought they would. I guess in the race for Mark Pacheco's seat, like something in me said, well, you know, the fact that Joe Pacheco has the same name is going to really benefit him. But then, you know, in the last couple of weeks, Kelly Dooner really made a name for herself. And so I thought she was getting all the momentum at the right time. So I wasn't surprised in how that went. The Bill Keating, Dan Sullivan race was pretty close for a long time last night. I don't know if that was just they were late getting the results, but it was pretty interesting. And I haven't looked at all the individual community numbers yet. But just anecdotally and from what I saw and from what others have been mentioning in their reporting, is it seems like Donald Trump made bigger inroads on the South Coast than in the previous two elections. So if that's the case, well, I think you can thank Tom Hodgson for that first and foremost, but also many of you as well. I don't get it. And I got a feeling that, you know, it's going to be four more years of saying, I don't get it. But if that's who you wanted to win, congratulations. If that's who you didn't want to win, this is also a safe place to vent. If you want to call in and just vent. I'm not going to be judgmental of anybody that wants to call in and get it off their chest because there's not a lot of places we can do that. Talk radio is predominantly conservative. And I've got a feeling that the conservative hosts, you know, not necessarily here, but across the talk radio landscape, are going to be more in a rub it in mode today than, you know, you can cry on my shoulder mode. But I think out of all of it, the thing I'm most surprised about, I mean, I'm pretty surprised, but I think the thing that I'm most surprised about is that after warning us for the last couple of weeks that we could go days without an answer, they had an answer relatively quick. Part of that is I heard some of the analysts talking about last night. Obviously, far less mail-in ballots than in 2020 because, you know, there wasn't a global pandemic going on. Part of it is because they started making provisions so that some of those early votes could be in some places, not everywhere, but they could start being entered in even days ahead of Election Day. And part of it is because I think some places just realized that they had inefficiencies. And they kind of looked it over and said, well, what can we do to be more efficient? What can we do to be speedier in getting a result without sacrificing accuracy or integrity in those results? And many of those areas had 4 years to work on a plan and a couple of local elections and midterm elections to be able to work that out. And so hopefully this is the new normal going forward that, you know, if you don't get a winner by 10 p.m., that's okay. It's not great for those of us that stayed up until 1 a.m. like I did. See, I was stupid. What happened is when I got home, turned on the TV, ate some dinner, sat in my chair, and then allowed myself to doze off thinking, well, I'm going to be up late. But then that made it hard to fall asleep when it came time to go to sleep. So I'm working off 3 hours sleep. And I'll try to be as energetic and non-cranky as I can be, but no guarantees. And if I get through the show, I'm more worried about how I'll treat everybody in the meetings afterwards. Like, what'd you say? Like, Tim, calm down. But I think everybody here was probably up pretty late last night as well. So we all might be in the same boat. 508-996-0500. Let's go to the phones. So I got to ask you, what do you want on your pizza, Mary?
Well, you're forgetting a little something else that you also said to me, and I can prove you said it because I kept the message. Can't you recall what you said to me?
I don't, but I'm sure you're right in what you're about to say.
Yes, and I'm gonna say it, and you know, because I deserve to say it. You said You couldn't wait until I called you on Wednesday crying because he lost. Do you remember that?
I do remember that, but I'll be honest, I never thought you would cry.
No, but I was very upset and sick during this whole thing.
It was a roller coaster of emotions. The whole election
was. What I would like to say really today is God bless America. We are unburdened by what has been. Doesn't that sound familiar to you?
So what are you the most optimistic about going forward here?
Everything that Donald Trump said about making our country great again, beautiful again, happy again, successful again. Everybody just love one another. And I mean, and now bomb threat. They have the nerve to send bomb threat. And they said it came from a Russian email or something. But I don't understand something. When they get threats like that, don't they usually clear the place out, which is their goal, which is they want to happen, but nobody left.
No, they did. So they shut down for an hour. They cleared the places out for an hour and then allowed people to go back in and then extended the voting for an hour. A judge had to pass an emergency order to allow them to stay open an hour later, but they did.
Yeah. And I was upset when I saw you with the shirt because I said, come on, he can't be that serious. Be wearing a shirt with her name on it. And you paid for that too? Out of your pocket?
Yeah.
God. So you know what? Why don't you wear it every day now? Get your money's worth.
You know
let
what?
Everybody see you wearing
I bet you I paid for my shirt. I bet you Barry didn't pay for his. I bet you somebody gave Barry his.
Well, I don't know. But the only thing was, his shirt was blue. That kind of threw me off.
I know. I thought that was a little odd too, especially because I put it up on the WBSM Facebook page with a, you know, like with a blue heart or a red heart. And I was like, that might be confusing for some people because Barry's shirt is blue. So people might be thinking like if they put a blue heart, they mean Barry's shirt, not necessarily, you know, Donald Trump.
I knew right away something was wrong because I knew he was for Trump, but I saw the blue. I said, what is that? You know? So she had a white shirt.
I thought was a mistake when I went to the Harris campaign headquarters and they only had white shirts. I was like, that's a mistake because people are slobs and they don't want to have a white shirt. But
well, I'm just so happy today. It's beyond belief. And the only thing is we didn't get rid of Liz Warren. That's pitiful that she's still there. I don't get it.
I don't think John Deaton ran enough of a campaign against her. I think
maybe not, but I voted for him.
Yeah, I think that was kind of what hurt him. I think if more people heard about him and heard about his story and heard about, you know, instead of just lumping him under the R, I think more people would have been willing to give him a chance. So I don't know. Maybe he gives it another go.
The greatest thing he can do now is when he said he was going to rebuild that wall. Stop, you know, take care of that border. I'm very grateful for that because we don't know where all those bad guys are. So many of them were released here. It's awful, killing people for nothing. And when I heard the squirrel story, I said, come on, they actually did that? For what reason would that? And how did they know that person had a squirrel in there?
Somebody called in and reported it. Somebody that followed it on social media. It wasn't even like a neighbor or something. It was somebody that followed the social media account and ratted him out.
But they had the nerve to go in there. They didn't have the right to do that. You could see the way that government would have been for us. It was so bad the last 4 years. I can't wait for the gas prices to go down, the food prices to go down. I haven't had a good steak in a long time. I've been eating ground beef and chicken. And everything, it's not like having a whole steak, you know what I mean?
what if none of that happens? Will you be disappointed? Yeah. What if the wall doesn't get built?
No,
what if people don't get deported? No, I'm just asking.
No. Well, I mean, I'm not going to like it, but I'm pretty sure he's going to do the best he can. I have faith in him. I think he's really a good guy. Yeah, they don't like the way he talks. Yeah, he was talking to Putin and this, blah, 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 blah. Big deal. You have to go by what somebody does, you know? I think most of the people knew. For some reason, they just hated him. You hated him. You hated him.
I don't really hate anybody, but I don't like him.
I still don't believe you that you did not vote for him. I don't believe that. I'll always say that you voted for him.
You can keep thinking that all you want, but
it's me. You won't admit it to me.
You can, and by the way, you can think that all you want, but that's not the case.
The pizza is going to be mushroom and olive, nice and crispy. They can run it through two times and burn it.
They make all their pizzas there laced automatically, which you're really going to enjoy the laced pizza. They bring the sauce and the cheese out over the edge of the pizza.
I don't even know.
And they go around the whole pan with it, and it makes a nice crispy kind of burnt edge. You'll love it.
I don't even know if I want it. I've been doing well, and I hate to eat that now. When I would rather save the goodies for my big celebration at the end of the journey, you know. Although the journey goes on for the rest of your life, but
you can have one slice to celebrate and then put the rest in the freezer if that'll make you feel better.
Yeah, it would be there a long time. It would be there a long time.
You know what? You say that. I say once you taste it, you're going to say, I got to have more of this.
Good. No. You got that wrong. What you have to say is once I bring it home, I'm going to eat it. That's the way it goes down. I eat it if it's in the house, or I don't bring nothing home. Mushroom and olive. And I don't like holding pizza that is falling down off your hand in the front. It's all sagging over your fingers.
Oh, no, little flop.
I want it burnt.
You will enjoy it.
We'll get to that. It's not going to happen right away, but I'll do it.
No, I don't know. You might get a knock at the door. It might be DoorDash bringing you a pizza.
Oh, well, that's okay, too. It doesn't matter. I'll take a picture of me eating it, and I'll send it to you.
There we go.
So what else was I going to say? I took more than 3 minutes. Anyway, I'm just all happy today. I'm so happy I'm going to walk extra long. The weather's nice. It's warm. My windows
beautiful
are
day
all
for
open.
It.
God bless America.
All right.
God bless America.
And God bless mushroom and olive pizzas.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
You have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
And 508-996-0500. I'm going to get as many of these calls in as I can before I got to take a break and then the news. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. Gilly Safiolos.
How you doing?
Good. You know, I hope Mary's listening to this because she put you on a spot when she said to you about your T-shirt and you said you paid for that and you said, yeah, I paid for her for that shirt. But then you continue your conversation and, you know, you don't like us to call in and throw your co-hosts, the other people, under the bus. But you said, but Barry Richards, I bet you he didn't pay for his. Somebody must have gave it to him.
No, I said I'm not sure he paid for his. He has a whole bunch of, but that's because he said the other day on the air, he has a whole bunch of stuff in his office that people gave him, Trump stuff, that he hung up in his office.
Yeah,
so why I was saying I don't know if he paid for it or not. I don't know if that was part of like what people gave him.
No, I understand it, but I listened to Mary. I knew Mary was going to be your first caller. I knew Mary was going to, but, you know, there was a lot of people getting in everybody's face over this election. It'll be remembered for years. Okay? I mean, it really got bad, really bad.
And I don't know that bad is going to be over, because now you're going to have a lot of pissed off people on the other side. So hopefully we can move past this. It might take 4 years to do it, but hopefully we can move past it all.
Well, we all hope that we get back on the right track. And the government be for the people. Help us first in the United States, not everybody all over the world. But I just knew Mary was going to be the first one, but she put you on the spot on that move about you really paid for that T-shirt and then you brought Barry Richards into it, where you don't want us to bring the other hosts in. That's why I called in. But I don't, you know, people give a lot of people things, you know what I mean? So
right.
Great. Tim, you have a good day.
You as well. And let's take another call here before we get to take a break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I was happy to hear Mary call. I'm ecstatic like she is. But, you know, I just believe President Trump really needs a really good vacation right now. Man looks exhausted. He hasn't stopped, especially at his age. I think he needs to sit back, take a long golf, go somewhere, vacation, get his head in order, because he's looking pretty exhausted. And I was really, again, I'm very disappointed, too, that Elizabeth Warren got in. I mean, I heard what you said to Mary about, you know, him not being able to being out there enough. But, you know, again, in the state of Massachusetts, we have this problem. I think people should, even though he wasn't out there enough, people should have been, you know, thinking to themselves like I did, because I voted for him. You know, I've had enough of Elizabeth Warren. I don't, in my opinion, I don't believe she's really, maybe she was good in the beginning, but, you know, it's like every other politician, whether city-wise or, you know, local, statewide, they're in there too long. They get too comfortable, and they just feel they have the right, you know, to be there. And I just think at this point she's really useless. And it's too bad they didn't give somebody new, regardless, the opportunity to see what they could provide. And my last comment is, you know, this, we're all happy about him winning, but I don't believe this is the end of it, because Pelosi had already said last week that if he was elected as president, she was already going to pull the 25th Amendment on him when he got sworn into office. So, you know, we can all be happy, but this, you know, I'm sure they have things up their sleeves to do.
I was saying, just to go back to your John Deaton point. So I'm looking at the percentage here, and it looks like the final percentage, and again, this is not final, this isn't official, but it looks like the unofficial result was 60% for her and 40% for him. So, I mean, when I say he needed to do more, that's just because he's a first-time candidate. People didn't know, they didn't know him, they didn't know what he was all about. So if you pulled in 40% against Liz Warren, and then let's just say she wants to run again, because it's entirely possible she will want to run again in 6 years, and you run against her again, you're building off that 40%. You've got a good chance, because you've got to win the people who are also Liz Warren voters, but say, you know, I think she's had a long enough time in there, and I'm still a little upset about the fact that she won last time and immediately ran for president. Like, you know, if you can start to convince some of those people, I think somebody like him would have a chance against somebody like Liz Warren in the future.
Well, yeah, you know, you have a point there, but you also have to look at it. It's 6 years out. You know,
people right. forget. People forget, yeah.
You know, they forget from, you know, 1 month or 1 year to the next year. So it's not like, you know, 2 years from now, or maybe even say 4 years from now, you know, we're looking at 6 years. So by that time, you know, people will forget about everything. And you know, again, it just really baffles me in this state how people think. But anyway, the only, to be honest with you, one of the major reasons that I was really happy that Trump won was because of his VP pick. I really like the guy. He's a young guy. I think he has a lot to offer. And since Trump now cannot run again, I think that, you know, he is a good candidate for maybe the Republican nominee 4 years from now, to maybe, you know, keep things going in this country. So compared to Harris's VP pick. So that was one of the major good things for me as far as, you know, my decision. But anyway, you have a good day. I just called in to give my opinion.
All right. You have a good day as well. Take it easy. All right. I'm going to take a break here. When we come back, we'll get the news from Phil, and we can take more of your calls, 508-996-0500. We are going to be joined just after the 8 o'clock news later on. We'll have a brief conversation with All Elite Wrestling star Deonna Purrazzo, the virtuosa. All Elite Wrestling, AEW, is coming to the Amp in Providence tomorrow night. Tickets are still available. And we're going to talk with Deonna about AEW, about its women's division, and about just what a good time you can have. And tickets start at $15 for that. You can get those now at AEWTix.com, AEWTIX.com. So it'll be coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. And right now, let's take that quick break, and then we'll be back with the news with Phil. All right, we will go over the local winners and local results coming up. But right now, let's turn things over to Phil Devitt in the WBSM newsroom.
Trump declares victory, setting the stage for a second term in the White House. Rafael gains strength in the Caribbean, and why President Biden has to celebrate today.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Donald Trump is the projected winner of the 2024 presidential election. While speaking to his supporters in West Palm Beach, Florida, about 2:30 this morning, Trump talked about the road ahead.
This is a magnificent victory for the American people that will allow us to make America great again.
Trump promised to help the country heal. He said he'll fight for the people and vow to deliver a prosperous America. A special shout out to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in Trump's remarks. He may join Trump's administration.
He's going to help make America healthy again.
Earlier in the night, RFK Jr. posted a congratulatory note to Trump on X, cheering what he called a, quote, historic victory. Kamala Harris, meanwhile, expected to deliver remarks today. Senate races in the nation's midsection help tip the balance of power to Republicans. Sue Danielson has more.
Texas Senator Ted Cruz is headed back to Washington, he says, with a mandate to secure the southern border.
Not with empty promises, but with concrete and steel and law and order and with the unshakable resolve from knowing we are protecting those we love.
You may find common ground on immigration with Bernie Moreno, who defeated incumbent Democratic Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio. Moreno's family immigrated to this country when he was a child. And as a U.S. senator, he says he'll push for legal immigration. I'm Sue Danielson.
Delaware State Senator Sarah McBride made history on Tuesday. Tammy Trujillo with those details.
She became the first openly transgender person voted into Congress. The Democrat took Delaware's lone congressional seat by a wide margin over Republican John Whalen III. McBride received support for her skill at breaking through party lines to get legislation passed, something she says she hopes to do in Washington. Her priorities include expanding affordable health care, protecting reproductive rights, and increasing the minimum wage. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Forecasters say Rafael has strengthened into a hurricane as it swirls across the Caribbean. Mark Mayfield has the update.
Rafael is now the 11th hurricane of the 2024 season. The storm is expected to keep growing before it makes landfall in Cuba on Wednesday. The National Hurricane Center says the lower and middle Florida Keys could experience tropical storm conditions beginning late Wednesday or Wednesday night. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Obesity doctors are reporting high demand for weight loss drugs, but say supply and insurance hurdles persist. The list price for a month of Eli Lilly's Zepbound and Novo Nordisk's Wegovy is more than $1,000, and many insurance companies won't cover it. Because of that, the two pharmaceutical companies are offering coupons that cut the cost of those drugs by about half. Home Depot co-founder Bernard Marcus is dead at the age of 95. The company made the announcement on Tuesday. Marcus and Arthur Blank founded Home Depot in 1978, which helped grow his net worth to around $7.4 billion. And President Biden's granddaughter is pregnant. Naomi Biden revealed the news on Election Day, posting a photo of herself in the mirror with an I voted sticker on her baby bump. She's Biden's oldest grandchild, and her baby will be the president's first great-grandchild.
WBSM Sports.
Arena. Boston hosts the Calgary Flames tomorrow night. One of the more highly anticipated basketball games of the regular season has arrived. Jason Tatum and the rest of the Celtics slated to take on the Golden State Warriors tonight at TD Garden. And the Patriots made a series of roster moves on Tuesday, including announcing that tackle Zach Thomas has been released. Pats play the Chicago Bears on Sunday.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Warm day ahead, getting up to the mid-70s here on the South Coast. Dry and a mix of sun and clouds. Tonight, cooler air moves in, but Thursday and Friday will still be warm in the 60s. Temperatures return to normal over the weekend with highs in the 50s. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
They paid paradise and put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Got till it's gone. It'd be a paradise. Put up a fucking line.
put them in a tree museum, and charge the people a dollar and a half to see them. No, 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 don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? You pay a paradise and put up a fucking lie.
And welcome back in Counting Crows with Vanessa Carlton there. Their cover of Joni Mitchell's Big Yellow Taxi. And I said we would go through these local results. And I will have an article up at WBSM.com later on this morning with all of these. It just, last night, there wasn't enough to, not enough had been decided to report yet. And by the time things started rolling in, I was already ready for bed. So I was like, well, people will get it elsewhere, I guess. But let's go through it, because there were a number of local races. As I mentioned, Liz Warren defeated John Deaton 60% to 40%. And despite it being a little bit back and forth, earlier in the evening, in the 9th District, Bill Keating defeated Dan Sullivan 56.5% to 43.5%. So Bill Keating returning to Congress. In the Massachusetts Senate, obviously we had a number of folks who were running unopposed, Mike Rodericks, Mark Montigny. But in the race that everybody was keeping an eye on, the third, Bristol and Plymouth, we've got Republican Kelly Dooner at 47.7% and Democrat Joe Pacheco 47.1%. So I was talking this morning about, Kelly Dooner surprising me based on the numbers that I had saw earlier. I thought that she had won already, but this is super close. It looks like 33 plus 11, so 44 votes separate the two of them right now, with 75.89% of the vote in, estimated. So that one is going to come down to the wire. And then in the second Plymouth district, I think that was called pretty early. I'm sorry, no, I'm thinking of the state house race. All right, well, let's get into that. Let's get into the representative races here. Again, we had a number of ones that were competitive locally. I'm just going to scroll through down here. Carol Jordy won in the third, Bristol unopposed. It looks like, they've called it. Justin Thurber defeated Pat Haddad in the fifth Bristol. Pat Haddad was the incumbent, but Justin Thurber, who had challenged previously, makes it through this time. Carol Fiola unopposed in the 6th Bristol. Alan Sylvia unopposed in the 7th Bristol. But we've got another one that's too close to call right now in the 8th Bristol for Paul Schmidt's seat. And Chris Thrasher had that quite a bit for most of last night. And as I was watching that unfold, I was kind of watching him versus Jesse St. Gelais. And it was close for a while, but then Thrasher started pulling away. Right now, with 80.39%, so just about 80.4% of the vote in, Steve Ouellette is leading at 32.5% of the vote, with Chris Thrasher getting 32.4% of the vote. So the Democrat leading the Republican by, just going to do quick math here, 22 plus 13 is 35 votes. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. Then some of the other local races that I know matter to people, we'll get into the questions in a moment. But the race for county commissioner in Bristol County, incumbent John Mitchell will be returning 43.7% of the vote. Actually, they're saying right now, because there's only 59% of the vote in, that they're not willing to call that. But he's got 20,000 votes on the next closest, Julie Ruggiero, who would also, as it stands right now, be part of the commission because it's two seats that are open. So it looks like it'll be John Mitchell and Julie Ruggiero, although that is not official yet. And the other kind of local race, her father, Joe Ferreira, looks like he's going to return to the governor's council for District 1, 56.5% over Kristen Condon's 43.5%. That's 81.4% of the vote in right now, but it looks like that's a pretty handy lead for Joe Ferreira. So getting into the questions, question one, authorizing the state auditor to be able to audit the legislature. No surprise here. That one far and away, 71.5% to 28.5%. As I said yesterday, I think that's going to be everybody in Massachusetts voting yes, except for the everybody that's in the legislature voting no, or maybe the people that work for them. So it was over 2 million votes yes, 834,000 votes no. MCAS as a high school graduation requirement. Repealing that requirement. 58.9% of the people voted to repeal it. 41.1% voted to leave it alone. So that passed. Question three, the ability for Uber and Lyft drivers to form labor unions. 88% of the vote in right now. It's 54.1% yes, 45.9% no. So they're not ready to call that yet. And that one kind of went back and forth through the course of the night. Question four, legalizing psychedelic substances, certain psychedelic substances. That was a no, 56.9% of the vote, to a yes, 43.1% of the vote. So that will be a no. That will not pass. And again, I think that, you know, that's a question that might get revisited with different language. I think if it was just therapeutic use in a controlled environment, it would have passed. I think decriminalizing it and allowing people to grow it at home was an issue. And question five, increasing the minimum wage of tipped employees. I don't think we're surprised based on, you know, what we were hearing about that and really the lack of the people who fought to get it on the ballot didn't do much to convince people to vote for it, I don't think. The no's took that 63.9% to 36.1%. So they will not be increasing the minimum wage, which sounds bad on the surface, but if you've been paying attention to that issue, you know that nobody in the restaurant industry wanted that to pass. So 508-996-0500. Well, maybe the cooks and the dishwashers, but let's go to the phones here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, good morning. I didn't get to watch it all last night, but did they have the numbers for the popular vote for the presidency?
Let me see if I can pull up what we've got right now as the latest. Of course, I don't see everything's about the Electoral College here. I'll get it for you, though.
That was a really question. I'll hang up and listen. I know there's usually a lot of crying about that, so I was just wondering what the outcome was. So
yeah, I got to take a break, so I'll get it for you during the break.
Yep.
All right, and we'll take more of your calls, 508-996-0500, but I do have to take this break, and I'll get you those latest numbers. We'll be right back.
But it seems I remember the good times with just a little bit more in focus. But when she puts her arms around me.
Well, I don't think any of us Kamala Harris supporters are going to be singing Here Comes My Girl today, but that is Tom Petty there. So I did get the latest on the popular vote. So the latest on the I'll give you the percentages first. So the 51% for Donald Trump, 47.5% for Kamala Harris. And the total numbers, 71 million for Donald Trump, like 71,113,511. So 71 million votes for Trump, 66.2 million, actually 66,181,515, but 66.2 million for Kamala Harris. So about 4.5 million more for Donald Trump than for Kamala Harris in the popular vote. which is down from 2020. So I don't know how many, you know, obviously the 2020 numbers, we're talking about what the final tally was. And we still don't have the final tally for this. So obviously they're projecting that Donald Trump is the winner. But keep in mind that that's just a projection. The race isn't official yet until all the votes are counted. But basically what they're saying is, you know, this will hold no matter what comes in. So the outcome isn't going to change based on what's out there, but that final number can change. So maybe we will have just as many or more than in 2020, but there is not as many mail-in ballots out there this time around as there was in 2020 at this point in time. So I don't know how much more that number will go, and it may not be bigger than the vote totals 4 years ago. But the result won't change. That's basically the, you know, the formula that they're working when they're trying to call it, when any outlet calls it, involves, you know, making sure that whatever is outlying, outstanding, they know or have a rough idea of either how those are going to go, or is it mathematically possible that what's out there could make a difference? And that's why it took so long to be able to call things like Pennsylvania, because you've got to make sure that the stuff that's out there can make a difference. I think I heard, what county was it? I can't even remember at this point. But there was one county that was speaking on CNN where they said, you know, they were only going to be able to have 98% of the vote in because they still had overseas and military mail-in ballots that wouldn't be counted until next week, but that was only, you know, less than 4,000 votes. So when you know that when you get to within 4,000 of, you know, when somebody has a greater than 4,000 vote lead, it's not going to change. Even if every vote somehow came back for one person, it's not going to change. So that's kind of the way that they figure it all out. It's advanced math beyond me because I'm terrible at math, but I trust the accuracy in it for the most part. I mean, sometimes there's mistakes made, but that's because it's people and probably a little help from AI making those decisions. Got to take one final break for this hour. We'll be right back. By the way, I'm an idiot, and I'm also an idiot that is operating on not a lot of sleep. I forgot to mention that in the 10th Bristol race, Mark Sylvia has defeated Joe Pyers 54.9% to 45.1%. So even though these results that I'm looking at, which I believe are AP results, haven't officially called it for Mark Sylvia, I do know that I read the Standard Times article that Joe Pyers had already conceded in that race. So still, you know, relatively close there for a seat that was Bill Strauss's for a long time. So we've seen, and there's another race too that I think people might be interested in, the Plymouth and Barnstable district. We have Dylan Fernandes slightly ahead.